Good morning.
In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses wrote, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." And that's in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. This morning we're talking about one gospel for all people. One of the issues in the early church was the fact that they were selective in who got access to God. And in fact, it stemmed from Judaism. If you look at the Jews had control over access. In fact, while God did have stipulations, they were supposed to be the light to the people of God, yet they chose to shut out those others who God desired to have. The early Jews struggled with God, and they were God's chosen, but they were God's chosen to lead as an example, and we'll speak about that in a moment. But we do the same thing today sometimes. Sometimes we look at others, and in our mind, whether we're actively doing it or subconsciously doing it, we're deciding whether or not they either are worthy or whether or not they would listen to the gospel. And that hinders us from proclaiming it. Not only that, but there's people today who struggle with the gospel, and they struggle with the fact that it's actually for them. In fact, they'll sit there and they'll say, "But God doesn't understand who I was, and you don't understand who I was. God couldn't forgive that." And in fact, God says, "I already have. You just have to receive the forgiveness." You see, we live in a world that while we want to claim unity, it's still divided. And we're called to spread the gospel to all. For the gospel was intended from the very beginning for every nation, for every people, for every culture. And today, we're reminded that it's for every people, for every nation, and every culture. In Acts chapter 10, we read a story about Peter, and we're going to read in verse 34 here in a few minutes, but we have to get it into context. In Acts chapter 10, we see in verse 9, going all the way through verse 33, that we need to understand Peter had a vision where he was told to eat something that by Jewish law and custom was not appropriate to eat. And he refused to do it, and over again, God told him to eat this, and the point God was making is, don't deem unclean what I have made clean. You see, Peter struggled with this, and we even see him struggle with this down the road when Paul has to ream him out about it. You see, down the road, Peter's going to be eating with Gentiles and with sinners in the eyes of the Jewish people, and Paul's going to walk in, and Peter's going to get reamed out because when the Jews walked in, he moved from the table to against the wall. He moved from being an active participant to a bystander watching, for he was afraid of what the Jews might think of him. And Paul sees this, unfortunate for Peter, and deals with it. But we see here that Peter is reminded in verse 15 of chapter 10, what God has made clean, do not call common, or some translations say unclean. And this story leads us up to another story of Peter proclaiming the message. In verse 34 of Acts chapter 10, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.' So there he comes with the understanding of the vision of what God means when he says, 'What I have said is clean, don't call it unclean or common.' The point he's making is found in this, that God shows no partiality." Christians. The word Christian, we know, means Christ-like, those who follow Christ, those who mimic and try to be like Christ. We're told that God shows no partiality, which means as Christians, we ought to show no partiality. But it continues. And Peter, in verse 36, says, "For the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." "You yourselves know," Peter says, "what happened throughout all of Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone," that's a key word here, "everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name." You see, there's some key points being made here. After Peter sees this vision and he's taught, what you've been taught is unclean, what you've been taught is not righteous, what you've been taught is no good, it's common, it's vulgar. Peter's shown in a vision, that's not true. And in verse 34 and following, Peter demonstrates this and illustrates this through recounting what had happened and by stating, "I know the message that he was trying to get across," and that is, God shows no partiality. Now, we saw that in Jesus as he walked along this earth, didn't we? While he went to the Jews first, he also reached out to the Gentiles, the Samaritans. He reached out to those who were from Samaria, those who were from undesirable locations, those who were cast out because of leprosy, those who were unclean because of unfaithfulness. Jesus reached to all of these people. In fact, Jesus says that he came not for the healthy, because it's not the healthy that need the doctor, it's the sick that need a doctor. So he didn't come for the healthy. He didn't come for those who were already righteous, for those who were already following God. I realize in a way he did, as far as forgiveness once and for all, but ultimately he came for those who were lost. Now here's the thing. If we're Christians and we're to be Christ-like, it becomes a struggle, doesn't it? Because we want to spend all of our time with the already saved, with the already healthy, the already cleansed, the already pure, the already righteous. But if we're called to be like Christ, our focus is those who have not yet heard of the good news, who have not yet heard the gospel, the message of God's kingdom, that it's not just open to us, but it's open to them as well. You see, if we're going to be Christ-like, this passage redirects us, just as it redirected Peter when he had this vision and understanding that God shows no partiality, and because God doesn't show partiality, neither should we. Now, this doesn't mean we don't have the right to treat people differently than others. In some ways, that's true, right? I treat my child differently than I'm going to treat other people, don't I? I have different expectations for my child than you may have for your child. You have different expectations for yours than I do mine. What it's getting at is, when it comes to righteousness, God shows no partiality. When it comes to who we bring into the kingdom, there is no partiality shown by God. Let's look at this a little bit deeper. Before we go on to the equality of God, the Jewish people drew lines in the sand about who was worthy of the favor of God. Where are the lines that we draw today? Maybe not as a congregation at large. Maybe we have some, but what about individually? What lines do we draw? Do we draw lines racially, religiously, based on economic, political, or position? based upon one's status with their peers, one's bank account, one's religious belief? Do we take those things and decide whether they're worth us talking to about God? Do we take those things and decide, well, they won't listen, or they don't deserve to listen, or they deserve what's coming to them? I hope not. Because God shows no partiality when it comes to who is able to inherit the kingdom. We are called to go unto all the world, as Matthew 28 says. Not just some of the world, but all the world, to all people, to all nations, proclaiming the gospel. It's one gospel for all people. What is Peter sharing with those who listen? I believe that he's sharing that all are equally loved by God. God's always desired for all of humanity to be reunited with him as they were in the Garden of Eden. In Isaiah 56, in the latter part of verse 7, it says, he desires that his house would be a house of prayer for all nations, not just one nation. Even in the Old Testament, when God had chosen Israel, he wanted all nations to come to him. The Jews felt they were better than any other nation because they were chosen by God. And they failed to recognize and remember they were chosen for a purpose. Not because they were deserving it, not because they were any better than anybody else. They were chosen to be the model that everyone else ought to follow. They were chosen to be a light that would lead others into worship of God. Now, if you've been reading your Bible much, you know that was a touch-and-go situation with them. They struggled with that. But the reality was they were to be an example. The shining light in the darkness, leading the way back to God for all who would come. Rather than leading others to God, however, over time, the Jewish nation began to focus on themselves as being elite, rather than being a light that led others to God. They began viewing themselves as superior rather than fellow human beings with similar struggles. They began to keep others out, away from God, looking down upon them rather than bringing them in to the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, he desired to spread the good news first to the Jews, but then to all the nations. And we see that this would be left to his followers. And they would focus their attention, yes, on Jerusalem and on Israel, but they would scatter all over the world, sharing the gospel for all. And a cursory reading of the New Testament shows this did not please the Jewish people. Why? That elitist mentality they had. Church, let's never have that mentality. Let's remember what we're here for. We're here to be the example, to be the beacon of light that leads others to God. He taught them that all who fear and obey God have access to God. This is a similar thing, that they're all loved equally by God, but it's not just those who live a righteous life from the time they were born to the time they become a Christian. It's everyone, everyone who chooses to fear and obey, to respect and obey God. Anyone who chooses to do that has access to him. We come from all different walks of lives. The Apostle Paul was a murderer and a persecutor of Christians. But when he chose to respect and obey God, he had access to the kingdom and went on to do wonderful things for God. Peter says, not only does God not show partiality, but desires for us to know that he is pleased by our respect and obedience. We become acceptable to him when we do these things. Romans 3, verse 29 says, "Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also?" Yes, of Gentiles also. All who believe, all who hear the gospel, but also those who respect and obey God in belief, in faith, they receive forgiveness, don't they? They receive forgiveness. Notice forgiveness doesn't come before obedience, it comes after obedience. Anyone notice that besides me? And this isn't the only time in Scripture, but it is not only those deemed important who have access to this forgiveness. It's not only those who have had a relatively good childhood who have access to forgiveness. It is anyone who respects and obeys God. In Galatians 2, verse 6, we read, "And for those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me." Status doesn't matter. It's not just those who are influential. It's not just those who are well off. Paul understood all who believe and show that belief in respect and obedience to God have access to forgiveness. We were all created by God in his image, and we're all his children. Job verse 34 in chapter 34 verse 19 says, "Yet he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. God will judge according to his standards, showing no partiality." The point, it's one gospel. One message of good news for all people, not just some people. It's for all of those who will listen, all of those who will believe and demonstrate that in obedience to God. And this is confirmed later in verse 34. In verse 34, in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Now, I know normally the Spirit comes after baptism, but there are exceptions. And by the way, did you know, I was talking about this earlier this morning with someone, did you know that in the Old Testament and early on in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit descended and ascended? It came and went from people in the Old Testament, but it never stuck with people. But now when we get to Jesus, the Holy Spirit sticks with us when we're baptized. Just an interesting side note. Remember, it talks about the Spirit descended upon David, and the Spirit descended upon Saul, and then it left Saul, right? And anyway. But look what happens in verse 46. "For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter exclaimed, 'Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?'" What was God doing? A visual lesson to what Peter was teaching. God said, "You know what? I will prove the point Peter's making by giving the Spirit to them just as the Jews have the Spirit." To say there is no partiality. To say I accept both Jews and Gentiles. And if you're not Jewish heritage, you're a Gentile. What I love about Christ is Christ bringing good news of a kingdom for everyone who will listen and obey in belief. Who will believe that it is what he says, who will believe that he will deliver what he promised, and according to that belief will act upon My question this morning is twofold. Are you sharing the gospel without partiality or selectively? And second, have you received the gospel? Believing that Jesus will fulfill his side of the promise, that he will give you forgiveness, he will give you the Spirit, and by obeying the act of baptism to receive that. Be seated for a moment. You two, come on up. This morning, I have the exciting news that Jonathan and Teresa Thomas have asked to be baptized and immersed into Christ. And before we take their confession, I want to read something out of Scripture as an illustration of what's taking place here. And in Romans chapter 6, it says in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." I love this scripture because it illustrates the point that when we go under that water and come out, we're reenacting the death of Christ. And just as he received a resurrection, we receive a resurrection as well. In verse 6, it says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin." Jonathan and Teresa, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe that he died and rose again from the grave? Yes. Are you committing today to live the rest of your life for Christ? Yes. We're going to take you back, and we're going to set you free from the enslavement of sin so that you can walk a new life with Christ based upon this confession. So while we go back, I'm going to ask Paul to come up, and I need Charlie to help me as well. All right, let's go back, guys.